Hello, this is Paul Green, political analyst for WGN Radio and chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Today on Monday, we had Eugene Jones, CEO of the Chicago Housing Authority, who gave one of the more lengthy speeches in City Club history, going over much of what the CHA has been doing with the housing in Chicago. Among the things he said, basically, that the Chicago Housing Authority is the second largest public housing authority in the country, that they have worked out pretty much most of the plan for transformation that was started in 2000 to try and alleviate the high-rise public housing. But the thing that was probably most interesting for me is that the number of CHA, former CHA residents who are now living in mixed-income housing, 62% of them working. That is something that probably should get out more. And he ended on an upbeat note that they promised that they would have 25,000 apartments by the year 2016. They are at 22,386, a few 1,000, 1,500 short, and that'll be done by 2017. All in all, it was a very upbeat message from an organization that hasn't had too much upbeat in the last two decades.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Sure is nice to be in front of a mic again. I get to say whatever I want to say, somewhat. How many news people are out here? Well, this is going to be interesting because this is not going to be the mainstay kind of speech that I'm going to give. I'm very opinionated, and I'm very proud to where I'm working at Chicago Housing Authority. So please bear with me. Hopefully, after my conversation with you today, there will be no questions. But if there are, be careful what you ask for, because I'm one person that's going to tell you how I feel. I'm not going to sugarcoat it or anything like that. As my board chair knows and all my board commissioners know, we get to the point. I also want to recognize John Doherty. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I have to have my board of commissioners stand up. Although John and Chico already came, stood up, and Bridget, I need Mark Cozy, Matt, Dr. Harris. Who else am I missing? And Jack, will you please stand up, please? I am so grateful to be here. And I'm here because Mayor Emanuel had the confidence to believe in me and my ideals to lead the Chicago Housing Authority, and I thank him for that. It is under his leadership that we are moving forward to create new housing opportunities in every neighborhood in this city. And let me tell you a little bit about myself, because I came here quite differently. Someone had called me, someone that you know in this audience, Lawrence Grisham, who I was friends with in Detroit Housing Commission when I worked there. He had called me and said, "Gene, Chicago needs your help." I said, "Okay. What would they like?" He says, "They need you in development construction." I said, "Well, I'm not going as an employee. I'm going as a consultant if I go anywhere." So he said, "Okay." He said, "You're not going to be number one." I'm not trying to be number one anywhere. I'm 61 years old, not tired of housing, social housing, but didn't want to be number one. I want to be in the background. Because if you know my history, ooh, that last one was a doozy. I said, "Okay, I'll come." So I came to Chicago in April this time last year. And a couple months into it, Mr. Jones, the mayor wants you here on Friday with your resume and your vetting slip. I said, "Okay." So I came there not knowing what I was going to do. He sat down and says, "I want to make some changes. I want you to be the acting CEO." So that's how I really got here. He didn't look for me or anything like that. He said, "This is the person." But in order to be fair about this, there's one person I'm pretty sure that you guys know. She's the newly executive director of LIST. Megan Hart, I owe a debt of gratitude, because if it wasn't for her to recommend me to the mayor, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you and doing the great things that CHA is doing now and what we're going to be doing in the future. So I just give a round of applause for Megan Hart. So I've had an illustrious career over those 35 years. I've been all over the world. I've been all over the country. I was born outside Detroit, Michigan, Mount Clemens, Michigan, Selfridge Air Force Base. My dad was in the military, career military. I graduated from high school when I was 16, went into the military when I was 17. My dad was not going to pay for me to go to college, so that was my out to get out of the house. When people say, why did you want to graduate from high school at 16? I said, I wanted to get out of the house because I was sick and tired of eating spaghetti and cabbage. And so that was my out to get out. And so I moved all over. I was in the military for 10 years, and so I know the homeless veterans' plight and so forth. I served admirably. I was in the Vietnam era. I was stupid. I wanted to go to Vietnam, and I didn't get a chance to go, but I was ready to go. I wanted to emulate my dad, who served two tours in Vietnam and also was in the Korean War, and I wanted to be like him. And so to my dad, my gratitude, and that's why I'm here. I've been all over the United States, from Kansas City, the first federal housing authority in receivership, Indianapolis, Alabama, Texas, everywhere. Now, let me just tell you a little funny story, though. Mayors. You guys got a great mayor here. You just don't know it. But let me just tell you the history of me. Then you understand what I'm talking about. I was at New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina came. Hurricane Katrina, I was there. I made sure that all of our staff got to Houston, Dallas, and Atlanta. Had all the payroll records. No one lost a paycheck because I made sure that our employees were getting paid. There's a story in Katrina that no one ever has written about yet. And when we got there and when we worked with FEMA and so forth, you guys heard the stories. The stories were true. The sad thing about it, when I was trying to relocate my residence from New Orleans to various areas in Galveston, the first thing they said to me is, Gene, what if another hurricane comes? I said, you know what, there's not going to be another hurricane. Hurricane Katrina was the largest. As soon as I said that, Hurricane Rita comes and devastates Galveston. So I know they called me some names. So you know Mayor Ray Nagin, right? Do I need to say anything else? Okay. I worked in Detroit Housing Commission. I was there with Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Do I need to say anything else? I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying anything. My last assignment before I came to Chicago, I was in Toronto. Do I really need to say anything more about that? But let me just, in defense of Toronto, there's a couple things I do want to share with you. I was the first American to ever run a housing authority outside of the United States and the largest in the country in Canada. I was the first African American to do any of that for the United States. And I did that because I wanted to see what my skills had brought me in the United States. Could I transfer those in another foreign country? And to tell you the truth, it's all relative. Mayor Ford, rest his soul, was a person who was a self-made millionaire and did everything he could for his communities. He poured his money, him and his brother and his whole family poured their money into everything that they could do. Yes, we all have demons, we all have issues and so forth. But I tell you what, that young man was dedicated to his community. If he was still living today and he still had a chance to run for mayor, he would win again because that's why people believed in him. And one thing I always tell my staff and everything, when the mayor's under controversy, anyone that's under controversy, we always want to put our head in the sand and say, you know what, this day, he's a terrible, he's the worst thing, and so forth. But we forget about the things they did prior to that. It's only today and not in the future. And that's the sad thing about it. The controversy I had in Toronto, I can't tell my side of the story. I want to do it so badly because there's always two sides of the story. But I'm going to keep to those morals and so forth. But I can defend everything. I can do everything. And no one will ever, my staff, from where I've started in San Francisco and so forth and HUD OIG and all those other places, none of the staff can say I cheated anyone, I stole from anyone, I did anything inappropriate, sexual harassment, nothing on my record would ever not give me the next opportunity, the next job. I'm very credible and I rest on those morals. And when I say something's going to be done, it's going to be done all the time. So my first quote of the day, and this is really about Gene Jones and CHA. You don't get into something to test the waters, you're going to make waves. And that's what we're doing. We're making waves right now. I mentioned creating opportunity because that is what I want to talk about today. And what it means for CHA, our residents, and the city of Chicago as a whole. It is important, and all of us have a stake in that work, all of us in this room. You've no doubt heard about CHA, but that's really not a great statement because a lot of individuals have not heard about CHA. They don't know what we've done. They know what we've done in the past and all the other things that we've done. But no one reflects on today and what we're trying to do in the future. And hopefully I'm going to dispel some of those rumors, especially when I get to the reserves. Because it seems like everyone thinks I have this pot of money. I'm the leprechaun that has this pot of money. I have a kiosk in the street. He says, come on up and tell me what you want. We are doing great work. And I will get into that in a minute. But I can't talk about where we are today and where we are headed unless I touch on the past and where we've been. Now, everyone remembers that. If you're from Chicago, I'm not from Chicago, but I remember that. You got State Homes, you got Robert Taylor Homes. Robert Taylor Homes was the largest public housing in the country at that time. Look at that. It stretched 4 miles from 35th to 54th Street with more than 1,600 units for Stateway Gardens and more than 4,300 units at Robert Taylor Homes, the largest public housing development in the country at that time. Historic for many reasons, still important today, because there's a concentration of high public housing and its demolition that paved the way for today's mixed-income, mixed-use communities that stand as a new model for public and affordable housing across this city, if not the country, ladies and gentlemen. This is the way it is going across this country. It's not building public housing again in the same way. It's not building density straight up in the sky. It's not any of that. It's mixed-income development. And there is no question at all the decisions to tear down the high-rise and to provide better choice and opportunity for people is working. A recent study that looked at public housing rentals who are relocated after their buildings were demolished, it showed that they had higher employment rates after they moved out of the high-rises, ladies and gentlemen. They were 16% higher than those who remained, and they were 9% more likely to be employed. And those are conservative estimates. They're from the universities. They usually don't get it right every time. It's usually probably more than what I've just made mention to it. At CHA, we have helped to create opportunities for people that they otherwise might never have. Cabrini Green. They'll be there before. I will touch on the impact of our work is having on people a little bit later. But let me give you an idea of who we are today. Chicago Housing Authority is the second largest housing authority in the country. It is the second largest housing authority in North America. It's New York City, Chicago, and then Toronto. That's it. We serve approximately 64,000 families. That equates to 132,000 individuals. If we were a city in the state of Illinois, this great state, we would be the sixth largest city in the state behind Naperville and Joliet. That's how big we are. We're not a mom-and-pop organization like people want to think we are. We're a billion-dollar corporation. 16 years after the plan for transformation started, we have made substantial progress toward our goals on providing affordable housing to our residents across the city. Since then, we have demolished more than 80 buildings that have been deemed unlivable by HUD. We knew they were unlivable before even HUD declared that. You know that. Delivered 22,386 apartments on 90% of the goal of 25,000 units. Let me say that again. We delivered 22,386 apartments or 90% of the 25,000 goal that we promised. By the end of 2017, we will complete the 25,000. I say to you, then what is the CHA going to be for? It's not going to be the plan for transformation anymore. It's going to be something different. 16,885 rehab apartments in Chicago Housing Authority, traditional senior family and scattered site developments, 2547 in mixed income developments or on former CHA sites, where a total of 7,500 homes and apartments have been built. 2,954 in project-based vouchers subsidized by the CHA through partnerships with groups like the Resurrection Project, the Center on Halsted, Bernkadite, Redevelopment Corporation, Thresholds, Yester Gates, and his Rebuild Foundation and others. Now, let me just warn you, ladies and gentlemen, I have a problem about interpreting some words. They may come out wrong. I'm just letting you know. So please, if you're going to laugh, laugh with me. Don't laugh against me, okay? Today, our residents and volunteers live in 77 of Chicago's communities, showing that people are able to exercise their choice and have access to opportunity to find housing that best meets their needs. And working with aldermen and nonprofits and spurned by Affordable Requirements Ordinance, ARO, that the City Council passed last fall, we expect the amount of affordable housing available throughout the city to continue to increase, ensuring that the vast majority of those in CHA housing can live in mixed-income communities with ample services, amenities, transportation, schools, and jobs. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's a perfect picture because we're having some issues in our mixed-income development when it comes to residents and the participation in the whole scheme of things, in condo associations. So I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat and say everything's perfect. It's not. Are we working to make those things changes? Yes, we are. But it is what it is right now, and we recognize that. One of the things I want to say, another quote that we understand. Many people would learn from their mistakes if they weren't so busy denying them. We're not denying any of them. That was a good one, wasn't it? This winter, we were proud to join our newest development partners, the Resurrection Project, to open up the first CHA development built in a vibrant Pilsen community. This serves as an example for others to follow and is part of our commitment to reach out to new communities and expand opportunities for our residents. This is the future, ensuring that Chicagoans can find affordable housing they need in their neighborhoods they call home. We had a ribbon cutting in Casa Q. Now, you see, do you see my face there? Nope. Because you know why? I'm not the one that wants to be in the photo or anything anymore because I've been there, done that. I'm not going to send a picture to mama and say, mama, look what your son did. I don't care. I always stay in the back because it's not me. It's not about me. It's about the residents who we serve. And that's my mantra all the time. I'm not trying to be in the limelight. I'm not trying to make newsworthy. I'm trying to do things that are appropriate for Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just repeat this. I am not from Chicago. But since I'm working here, I'm dedicated to doing things right by Chicago and by our residents. Where we are, the CHA looks much different than it did in the 1990s, and even since 2000 when the plan was launched. Today, new mixed-income developments include a mix of renters and homeowners who live side by side and reflect the kind of economic diversity that every sustainable community should have with new resources from new retail to parks and community centers that enhance the lives of residents. From the former Cabrini Greens to Ida B. Wells, from Robert Taylor to Stateway to Alba and Henry Horner Homes, we have changed the face of public housing in Chicago neighborhoods. We have seen the changes in public housing over the last 16 years, and we are proud, very proud of the work that has not only changed the face of communities, but people's lives along with it. When I arrived in 2015, if that's Janet Jackson, I'm not here. I'm not here. I stepped up our efforts at CHA to invest in our communities. We have accelerated development deals and housing production since I arrived at CHA. Invested more than $170 million in capital construction and development projects, with more than 500 units under construction. Reached 90% of the 25,000 unit goal under the plan for transformation, with 22,386 units now delivered. Leased 5,625 additional vouchers. In 2015, we expedited key development deals with a number of projects moving forward as a result of this push. Compared to 2014, development spending increased by $28 million. Capital construction spending increased by $6.5 million for a combined increase of 26%. I'm proud of that progress. Am I satisfied? No, but I'm proud of it so far. As for our development reserves, please remember this slide. Please remember this slide. Because people are going to say CHA is sitting on all these reserves. We started in 2015 with $221 million in reserves. We ended in 2015 with $154 million, and our budget is spent $109 million this year. By the end of 2016, we anticipate having almost $45 million, and we expect to use the balance of the reserves in 2017. So, look at that question mark. There should be a question mark. well, what are we going to do in 2017? Who's going to come back and say, Gene, we need to help you build up your reserves? The interesting part about this is that the advocacy groups are talking out of both sides of the mouth. They'll say we have too much reserves, okay? We spend it down, right? Everyone with me? So then when I start saving money for CHA, if I bring things in-house, I save on our insurance and so forth, all that money goes back into the reserves. So wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be better if I sit there and create opportunities and savings for CHA so we can pour back into development and add to our reserves instead of just dwindling down the reserves to zero? If you've been to New Orleans after the hurricane, you've seen what they built back in New Orleans right after the hurricane. It really sticks. It's not quality housing. Now, you want to go toe-to-toe with me, you can. I worked down in New Orleans. I've seen what we've done and what we've lost in New Orleans, and what they built back is something that they're going to have to rebuild in the next 15 to 20 years, if not sooner. We do not want to do that here. Now, I'm pretty sure CHA could have pissed away that money and built some crap, and you got to say, what are you doing, CHA? But you can't say, you can't get it both ways. You just can't. We want to build quality housing. We want to build it correctly. Have they been sitting on the reserves? Yes. Is there a reason for that? Yes. I wasn't here, and there are various reasons why they did it. And I'm not going to sit there and chastise anyone. I'm here for today and tomorrow. So we're going to spend, we're going to build quality housing, we're going to build mixed income units, we're going to do everything we can to build upon those vacant properties that we have us in the city. That is what we're going to do. That's what the Board of Commissioners is mandating us to do. So everyone got the reserves. Clearly. Over the next 2 years, we will be back on track to deliver 1,000 new rehabbed or acquired apartments for seniors and families in traditional housing, mixed income communities. This includes our recent purchase of 3 apartment buildings that make up the Chicago portfolio of Presbyterian Homes, one of the nation's largest providers of affordable housing for seniors. It will add 111 apartments to the city's affordable housing stock, preserve housing for low-income seniors, and expand long-term housing affordability housing opportunities on the north side. Now, individuals, including my staff, asked me, why would we purchase Presbyterian Homes? I said, this is the reason why. And we just kind of went through those dynamics. We had a Board of Commissioners who supported us. In fact, it was one of our Board of Commissioners who brought this deal to us. Why should we just go ahead and provide project-based vouchers and so forth? How come we just can't do both and maintain the integrity so that no one has to be relocated in this beautiful city of Chicago? We've also changed the model for what public housing is and should be. Today, we have more voucher holders than ever before and have achieved 90% voucher utilization. CHA has the second largest voucher allocation in the country and serves 46,000 households. Today, Housing Choice vouchers are accepted in all 77 Chicago's community areas, with many people still choose to live close to where they grew up or where their friendship and family networks are the strongest. Through counseling and support, Housing Choice voucher families, which is Section 8, families have begun to break down the barriers of the past. The HCV program, Section 8 program, was created to ease the rent burden of low-income individuals and families whose names are chosen from a wait list or through a number of special programs for veterans, the homeless, victims of domestic abuse, and the disabled. At the start of the plan for transformation in 2000, CHA leased nearly 30,000 vouchers. Today, that number is 46,000. Since the program's inception, voucher holders have been free to choose where they live as long as the apartment meets program guidelines. And I want to emphasize this again. The most importantly, the choice belongs to the residents, and the CHA provides support to the resident, to support to the voucher holders to help them make the choice that is right for them and their families. Choices that provide them with access to quality education and employment opportunities. People are critical of us, the housing advocate groups, and whomever who wants to step up to that plate. They will say, we have too many voucher holders in the West. We have too many vouchers in the South. We need someone more in the North. Now, I don't want to go back to the newsworthy things, but they didn't like super vouchers. They'll say that we should move them out of concentrated areas. We move them out. They complain about that because we pay too much, but we never give them opportunities. Or we shouldn't encourage them to stay in the South because there's too many down in the South. I can't win. but I'm still going to do the same thing. We have a mobility counseling. We try to move our residents out from their normal comfort level to somewhere in the north and looking at other opportunities. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot steer residents to live in the north or whatever the case may be because we will be violating fair housing. And then I'll be in front of the newspaper again with my face trying to defend why we force people to move up the north or somewhere else. It is a choice, and we have to maintain that integrity. Chicagoans like Tina Harden, who found a nice apartment on the south side where she feels safe and at home. If you feel safe and you feel comfortable, close to a job, education, and so forth, why can't you stay there? Yes, they're concentrated in Section 8 and so forth. There's no quota or anything like that. You can only have X amount of Section 8 vouchers in the community and so forth. It doesn't work like that. It's choice. She chose to live there because she felt safe and she liked where she lived at. The Housing Choice Voucher Program has strict HUD regulations and oversight and a high level of accountability. Quality housing standards are a CHA priority, and the inspection process for landlords who provide housing to voucher holders generally exceeds the level of scrutiny of most residential units in Chicago in terms of quality, quantity, and quality. As a moving to work, MTW, housing, Public Housing Agency, CHA has the flexibility granted and approved by HUD to allocate funding based on agency priorities ranging from exception payment standards to job training programs to development of new public housing. A 90% voucher utilization rate recognizes this will provide a reasonable level of vouchers while allowing us to maintain the flexibility to address other priorities. It gives us the ability to support initiatives such as Mayor Emanuel's plan to end homelessness among the veterans by this November by allocating an additional 450 vouchers for veterans so they have permanent, affordable housing. This is in addition to the more than 1,000 Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing, or VASH, vouchers we have issued to help homeless veterans find permanent, affordable housing. This enables CHA to support developments like Hope Manor, 2 in Inglewood, and residents like Janetta Johnson, a formerly homeless Army veteran who has found stable, permanent housing that has changed her life by offering her stability she needs to find a job and return to school. We're also able to serve some of the city's most vulnerable households. CHA allocates housing choice vouchers, resources to certain low-income residents who qualify for special initiatives and demonstration programs. The goal is to connect individuals with unique and time-sensitive needs more quickly to stable housing and supportive services. It is carried out by the Chicago Board approval and in partnership with the city and the Mayor Emanuel's Plan 2.0 to end the homelessness. In addition to veterans, we're also committed to an 18 voucher for those in public housing waitlist and with children under 13 who participate in a mobility counseling demonstration program. 325 vouchers to support those with chronic mental illness who otherwise might face homelessness, and 190 vouchers for those with physical disabilities. The CHA is, of course, chiefly known as a housing agency. We build, rehab, and support housing choice and opportunity. But we have to remember that it is the people who live in these buildings across the city and residents who rely on our support to find affordable housing for their families and are the real reason behind our mission. Now, let me ask you a question. I know you're not going to have the answer, so it's going to be a rhetorical question. What is the one program that the federal government supports 110%, always increases funding, but never decreases? Public housing. You know what it is? Prisons. You never see the federal government defund prisons. They always find money to increase funding and so forth for prisons. That's sad, isn't it? You have all the homelessness, you have all the people who need quality housing, but every year Congress won't provide those billions of dollars to improve the capital needs of public housing across this country. Didn't know that, did you? While we have changed the model for mixed-income housing in Chicago, one thing has never changed: our commitment to our residents and families who live in neighborhoods across Chicago. Got another great quote for you. This is when President John F. Kennedy. You cannot negotiate with people who say what's mine is mine and what's yours is negotiable. That's what everyone wants to do with the residents who live in public housing. They always want to negotiate. but they never want to give them what they deserve or give them an opportunity what they deserve. So we have a residence with a high five. We have senior ladies at a feast. That was fun. They always want to get me to dance. But see, I want to so bad, but I know if I start, it's going to be on YouTube. Everyone will sit there and start laughing. I just can't do it. As we continue to rebuild neighborhoods, our commitment is not only to a better physical well-being, but to offer people opportunities to improve their lives by enhancing housing and resident services. We have seen that when we invest in people, it pays great dividends. Today, 62% of working-age adults in public housing work, 62%, compared to 15% in 1999. We have a CHA resident working with Clean Slate. This is Shirley Williams. The average income earned by heads of households from work has steadily increased from $10,000 to close to $20,000, and we continue to work to help residents access well-paying jobs so they can make greater strides toward economic self-sufficiency. Since the plan for transformation began, 12,000 residents have been placed into jobs. In 2015, we connected 2,100 adults to new or better jobs through CHA's Family Works program. And other employment programs, 89% in high-demand industries that will allow for growth and opportunity. And last year, CHA received a $3 million Job Plus grant for Algea Gardens that will try to provide job training skills in the manufacturing and also the hotel industry. Next slide is Rashida David, who is taking advantage of the Job Plus grant that we've got for Algea Gardens. Our residents also learn how to plan for their futures through our family self-sufficiency program. CHA residents are also moving to homeownership thanks to Choose to Own program. Residents like Terrista Diaz, who a few years back became our 400th Choose to Own buyer, and today remains a happy owner, homeowner, who says the support from CHA has made the dream owning her own home come true. Ms. Diaz, outside her home. I'm happy to say that we're on track to have our 500th homeowner by the end of this year. 500. This year, we launched a pilot program to provide grants to our resident-owned businesses and low-income residents through our Section 8 program, Section 3 program, that offer up to $20,000 to help land jobs or start a business. Our first ever Section 3 symposium was held in February at the Hyatt Regency and was a roadmap for how we collaborate with our resident businesses owners as we look for new ways to collaborate with them. Our support for residents remains one of the biggest priorities and is helping people create their own opportunities. Like Mary Johnson, who last month at the age of 83 fulfilled a lifelong dream of going to college and graduating from the City College of Chicago with help from tuition subsidy we offer through our Partners in Education program with City Colleges. As many as you may know, at the start of this year, I proclaimed 2016 the Year of the Youth. We are focusing a lot of our time and resources on our young people, from job opportunities to scholarships to mentoring and other programs that we aim to helping young people find the right direction in life so they can thrive and succeed. Our youth have always been important to CHA. They are a key focus of the work we do, and today's youth are no different from yesterday's and deserves the same opportunities. Now here's my favorite slide coming up. There we go. That's all my hair used to be back in, 10 years ago. Wow, isn't that something? Reading has always been fundamental, but today we offer digital resource centers for CHA residents to help our children keep pace with the rapidly changing technology and landscape. We will have a major news announcement pretty soon about something we'll be doing with a great collaborator with us. This summer, CHA will connect 2,400 youth people ages from kids from ages from 13 to 24 to paid summer opportunities so they can earn money while learning new skills. And CHA has its largest ever group of interns this summer, 90 interns this summer, that we're paying them $15 an hour. I'm so proud to say, 15. Now, myself and John Hooker, we introduced ourselves to these 90 internships. One of the interns says, "Gene, do you ever get disappointed or disgusted?" I said, "No." I said, "There's a reason why. Let me read you the reason why. With all the news, bad news, and everything else, I read it and I understand it, but do I care? Kind of, but do I really focus on that? No, I focus on this. Good morning, Mr. Jones. I need your assistance again. First and foremost, I wanted to take this time out to thank you for the assistance that you have provided thus far. It is because of you that I was able to get my moving papers to start the process of a move. I also want to thank you because I am paying my fair share of rent. Thank you very much for that. However, I'm having some challenges. I have been looking for a place, and unfortunately, I'm not able to find a house in the areas that I want to live in for the amount of money that Section 8 is willing to pay. I live on the far north side, and really that location. I had a realtor working with me as well with no success. Fortunately, I was able to find a place in Bowie, Maryland, under the Prince George County. When I contacted CHA about the reporting out process, I was told that I would have to have the minimum of 60 days remaining on my voucher. Unfortunately, I did not have that because a lot of time has been wasted looking for houses in the north and northwest areas. And don't let me talk about discrimination. That's another story. I'm begging you to please honor this request and allow me to port out. The landlord accepts Section 8 and the unit is ready and available down in Bowie. I am a required move because the unit that I'm currently residing in no longer qualifies me as a three-bedroom. If you remember me, I met you at a meeting and sent you previous emails in regards to my situation. And the reason why she got to me, because we're very transparent. My email, my phone number, cell phone, and work phone number is on the website. I know you are a man of action and also a man that hears the voices of the people. I beg you to please help me and my family so that we can move into our dream home." Here's what she said the next day. "Thank you very much, Mr. Jones, Karen, and the CHA team. I'm in tears right now. Tears of joy, that is. You all have made my dream come true. Blessings to each of you." That's all I care about. All the other stuff. We're also glad to be a partner in the Chicago City of Learning program, where the partnership with DePaul University this summer, CHA will operate mobile learning centers that will visit neighborhoods across this city. I know every one of us here is committed to our young people and want to make sure that they have every chance in life to be the best they can. Young people like Chance Mitchell, a resident of Oakwood Shores, who is active in the Brownsville community. Chance Mitchell, speaking at an event, "Since moving to Oakwood Shores with his family at age 11, he's taken advantage of the many opportunities provided by our service providers. Today, he is finishing his freshman year at DePaul University, majoring in political science. His resume reads like someone 10 years his senior. He is a future and an example of why our new youth councils, in partnership with will be so important as we work to get youth more engaged in their own communities, our city, and offer them a chance to help inform our work goals. CHA's college scholarships have helped over 500 young people to go to college, and they are already creating their own opportunities and serve as fine examples of how CHA's support for residents is propelling young people into self-sufficiency and opportunity. Ms. Jones, just look at Jocelyn Jones, a rising senior at Scott College, and a Posse Scholar and Gilman International Education Scholar, who has been accepted into two pre-law programs the summer of 2016. Two. How's that for opportunity? And here's Adele Stukas, who last winter graduated with a master's degree in criminal and social justice with an emphasis on homeland security from Lewis University, Romeoville, Illinois. Adele, in cap and gown with her daughter. If this all sounds good, if this all sounds like a lot, you're right. All of us at CHA are proud of how our residents are taking advantage of programs and services that help them improve their lives and move up the economic ladder. All of this is possible because our moving to work status, our MTW status. I'm proud to say that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has extended our MTW grant for the next 10 years. It runs out in 2028. And that's because of the things that we have promised, we have delivered, and our credibility at Chicago Housing Authority is why they approved this across the country. So what does that mean for the city of CHA? With the flexibility we have, been able to tear down the isolating high-rises of the past, and more importantly, replace them with mixed-income developments that provide quality housing, options that are anchoring the redevelopment of communities that have seen no investment for more than 50 years. Whether it is at Parkside of Old Town or Roosevelt Square, Oakwood Shores, or West Haven, you'll find CHA residents involved in the construction of new buildings, thriving in mixed-income communities, and not only shopping but working at the new commercial centers that are part of these communities. That is opportunity. Where we are going. I've given you a good idea of where we've been and where we are today, so now I want to give you a look at where we're going. We have a number of developments under construction, from the rehab of all of our senior buildings to new construction and rental buildings. With that will result over 1,000 new or rehab units across the city over the next 2 years. You have Fannie Emanuel, you have St. Edmunds, Oasis, and you have Clybourne, 1200. We're making key investments that result in holistic development, from Lathrop Homes to Roosevelt Square. We're working with our partners to bring new housing, retail, and community assets to build stronger neighborhoods that carry on the tradition of some of our most historic developments. There's a Lathrop rendering, and we're moving ahead with plans of that every day. Today, I'm happy to share with you for the first time a look at the conceptual designs for the redevelopment of Harold Ickes Homes. Now, not to say it's going to look like that perfectly, it's going to look like that somewhat, but that's what Ickes Homes is going to look like, okay? The new Ickes development, not Ickes Homes, the new Ickes development, okay? Impressive, isn't it? Let me just pause for a minute. When I first came to Chicago and I went down Stateway, I could not believe that was public housing, affordable housing, mixed income. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been all over the world. You don't know how good you have it until you travel to places I've traveled. Our public housing is far, by far better than anything I've seen. With the privatization of the public housing and so forth, the buildings that we go into, I'm telling you, they're pristine. They beat anything on a private market. If you don't believe me, go out there and walk with me, and I'll show you. News media won't do that with me. Because I look at our developments, I look at my commitment and what I do for CHA as my heart. I walk the walk and I talk the talk. When I go out to my developments, residents know me, but not with a suit and tie on, but with jeans and a polo shirt on. Now, am I stupid to go out there at night at 11 o'clock at night? Yeah. But you know what? If they're scared, I shouldn't be scared, or I should share that scaredness with them and do something about it. If I can't go into that unit that has bed bugs, shame on me, okay? I've seen them. Resident would come to me, hey, Gene, here's some bed bugs right here. I said, okay, thanks. I really wanted to see those bed bugs, okay? But when you're accessible to anyone and approachable, that's when you get the best stories. Not to say your staff is going to lead you down a different path, but residents are always going to tell you the truth. And there's always two sides of the story. If you don't get out there, they don't believe that you even care about them. That's why I go out there. I've taken our commissioners. I go out there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not the person that sits behind the desk. I'm out there on site walking the developments. I'm out there at 12 midnight. Yes, I'm crazy, stupid. Yeah, I may get shot and so forth. I may get shot just going to Macy's on Stateway. Okay? It makes no difference. Am I going to go out there and have yellow shoes or a white shirt at night? No, I'm not going to be a spot that everyone just pick on. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be out there by myself, but I got to be out there. When residents complain at the Board of Commissioners and say, hey, Mr. Jones, did you see this over at development and so forth? I say, you know what? I was out there the other day. I said, I was out there at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, you didn't see me, but I was out there walking. That resonates with the residents, that resonates with the Board of Commissioners, and that resonates with anyone in the community that I'm getting out there to see what's being done. I've told my staff already that next week and the next summertime, I'm going out there 3 days out of the week. I'm going to visit my developments. I'm going out to see what's going on, making sure my staff is doing what they're doing, making sure the property managers are doing what they're doing, making sure everyone is doing what they're doing. That's a part of who CHA is and where we're going to be in the future. Like all the work we do, it is informed by input from the community. You'll be hearing more about this from us. You'll be hearing more about this in the coming weeks. As we invest in our communities, we'll continue to see the impact of our investment and positive changes that result. Chicago Magazine in April listed the best places to live in Chicago, and among the 11 neighborhoods, they named Cabrini Green, North Bronzeville, and West Haven, all communities which we have, with our partners, made a substantial investment. Chicago Magazine up and up-and-coming neighborhoods graphic. This investment is made with the knowledge that we will support and create strong, healthy communities, and there is no doubt that there is a correlation between the investment and the growth of change in these communities. They are attracting market-rate homebuyers like Jessica Joyce Lewis and her husband, Benoit Jacob, who resisted pressure from families to move into the suburbs and instead purchased their home at Parkside of Old Town in the Cabrini redevelopment area. Got an accent. I was in Toronto, everyone said I had an accent. I don't know why they said I had an accent. They enjoy not only the new housing in the new and upcoming neighborhood, but the diversity that makes this community strong. These communities are thriving because CHA also invests in community assets like the new Mariano's in Bronzeville and an excess tennis facility and an expansive soon-to-open arts and recreation center at Ellis Park in Oakwood Shores. Before I take questions, I would like to share with you a quote from Mayor Emanuel, who said, "My goal is to ensure that every resident in every neighborhood of Chicago has an opportunity to participate in the future that we are building in Chicago, and by working together, we can make the goal a reality." This is exactly what we're doing at CHA as we work with our partners to extend opportunities across this city. As we continue to build our successes, I will look to our existing partners and seek new ones, including some of you in this room today, to help us expand our reach and meet our goals of providing housing choice and opportunity to every neighborhood in our city. That was an article in the Sun-Times the other day. I know I got to be nice, but they said because they ran these stories on the housing choice voucher that now CHA wants to see if we're better fit of bringing housing choice voucher in-house. But you know what? That decision was made last year in August when I went to HUD and got them okay to move forward to see, do a cost-benefit analysis to see if it's better to bring housing choice voucher back in-house or keep it contracted out. So see, there's always two sides of the story. So we're doing an economic impact study. We want to show the Chicagoans in this state what the impact, economic impact, jobs, and so forth creation that we do for the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. We bring construction management in-house. These are cost savings, ladies and gentlemen. This adds to our reserves that people are going to still complain about. Gene, why are you adding to the reserves? Well, Gene's trying to save. We've already charted new territory by working with new community-based partners who will help us expand our outreach efforts to even more people. I'm happy to say Erie Neighborhood House and Spanish Coalition for Housing will be providing focused outreach services across nearly a dozen communities over the coming months, working with Latino and other ethnic communities to ensure that they are informed and aware of how CHA can help them. With efforts like this and with your continued support, we will succeed in building better communities and lives for the people of Chicago. One thing I want to say, see, you give me an opportunity, I get to say what I want to say. One last thing. Let me get this first. Hold on. Oh, here it is. All right. I want to say, in my speech, I'm going to say thank you very much for being here, but just because you have my audience here, I want to say Happy Father's Day. I just want to tell you, it says, being a father has been, without a doubt, my greatest source of achievement, pride, and inspiration. Fatherhood has taught me about unconditional love, reinforced the importance of giving back, and taught me how to be a better person. Thank you.
Gene ran a little long, but we'll have a couple of questions.
And by the way, I have a question. Does that history you just announced with Nagin and Ford and Tommy Kilpatrick, that doesn't apply to chairman of the city club, does it?
No.
Good. Okay. No. Wanted to clarify that because they're all wearing stripes, but their stripes are horizontal. Okay. Why not start with a tight question? As America's second largest public housing authority with a mission to serve all the needy, cities, residents, blah, 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 what is CHA doing to serve the Latino community, which is now demographically one-third of the Chicago population but only represents 7% of the CHA clients? Kind of an easy question for you.
So we have been meeting with the leaders in the Latino community. We're looking at job creation. We're looking at opportunities in Section 8, Housing Choice Voucher Program, and also in public housing. That's why we've let out an RFP. They've been Latino community, two organizations that I just named, are going to be a part of that to get the word out and the outreach. And we're trying to do a better job. And not only just in the Latino community, in all communities, but specifically in the Latino community, because they have been not saying that they have not been addressed, is that we need to address them more. And so that's what we're on the path to do.
Okay. A couple of questions, quick answers. May Whiteside, CKL Engineers. You didn't get too many softballs here, guy. Why did the CHA keep Dearborn Homes and not subject to demolition?
Wasn't my decision.
Fill in the blanks. Okay. Rachel Goodstein. Where are you, Rachel? I haven't seen you. There you are. Hello. If CHA does... Don't you? He gave a great speech. Can't you give him a little softball, a little something? If CHA does reduce or eliminate 525 units at Lathrop, what is the CHA plan, timeline, staff, to locate those units on the north side as CHA promised in February?
So let me address this and let everyone make sure that they understand what we have to say, okay? The 525 units, we promised that we're going to look in the various communities in the north side. Gene Jones and CHA is not going to look by themselves. We're talking about a collaboration with the community, with the aldermen, with the business community, and so forth, to find available land that we will build on. If you find the land and we can make the deal and so forth, that's what we're going to do. So it's not CHA finding them. It's in collaboration. We will build on our sites if we can, but we need the help with the aldermen, the advocacy groups, and so forth, because this is a partnership, ladies and gentlemen, just like crime in the neighborhood. It's just not CPD. It's just not CHA. It's a surrounding community. We all got a partner in order to fix things in our community. It's not onesies. It's twosies and threesies.
We always plan to get out of here by 1:30, so I apologize. This will be the last question from Marissa Novara, AM from the Metropolitan Planning Council. Now that we have these blue sheets, we are abolishing green ink, just so you know. Not so easy. What can be done about the structural issues that limit housing choices, voucher holders to areas that meet or fall under fair market rent? 1.5 times FMR. Well, we all know what that means. Health. But what help does CHA need in the face of federal level of deprivatization? Does that make sense to you?
Kind of, sort of.
Good. That makes two of us.
So the issue, that's a big issue, great on point. But one of the things I want to make sure I remind everyone, we administer the policies and procedures that the policy that comes from HUD, who Congress enacts. If you don't like the program, then go to Congress to try to change it. We have advocacy groups. We have our housing, National Housing Association, Redevelopment Agency. We have FIDA. We have CLAP. We have all of them trying to make the pitch that they need this or that. Now, if you don't like the Housing Choice Voucher Public Housing Program, we need to all come together, go to Congress, and change those rules and so forth. I only administer the program. We administer it very well. If you want changes, I'm not the one that's going to lead that charge. It's a collaborative effort, and that's what we want to do at CHA.
How about a big round of applause? Holy Junior, that's right.